Hello, iterative marketers. Welcome to the Iterative Marketing Podcast, where each week we give marketers and entrepreneurs actionable ideas, techniques, and examples to improve your marketing results. If you want notes and links to the resources discussed on the show, sign up to get them emailed to you each week at iterativemarketing.net. There you'll also find the Iterative Marketing blog and our community LinkedIn group where you can share ideas and ask questions of your fellow iterative marketers. Now let's dive into the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Iterative Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Robinson, and with me, as always, is the sparkling and charming Elizabeth Aaron. How are you this morning?
I'm good, Steve. How are you?
Good, good. Get to go through the car buying experience again here.
Ooh, now we've talked about this before. You had a Jetta before or a...
Yeah, I have a Dieselgate Volkswagen diesel... wagon that I love, but I'm not allowed to drive anymore. So I'm turning it back into Volkswagen and getting probably a Mazda.
Oh, exciting. That'll be fun.
I gotta put three car seats in the back, and it's surprising how few vehicles actually work for that.
Yes, I don't have that problem, so...
That's not recommended. I'm telling you, stop it too. Your life's way easier.
I'll keep that in mind.
I love my daughter, but we.
Three's hard.
Three's hard. So what are we talking about today?
So today we're talking about content marketing to the think state. And if you listened to last week's episode, we talked about content marketing to the C state. This week we're talking about where that intersection of iterative marketing and content marketing comes together when we're specifically talking about those people that are in market for our product and are thinking about our product, but are still not quite ready to make that purchase.
Yeah, so we'll go through, just kind of like we did last week, we're going to go through our goals and objectives of targeting content at the think state, because it's a little bit different. We'll talk about how we measure success, and we'll talk about how we iterate on content within think, because it's all of these are just slightly different from C, because our objectives are different. So you touched on it briefly, but can you remind our audience of what think state means and what the difference is there?
Yeah. So our think state audience is our audience that is qualified and they're thinking about buying our product or service, but they haven't made a commitment or they don't have a timeline for making that purchase. So if we're talking about you and your car, are you in think state right now or are you in do?
I'm in due. There's a definitive date here. Sometime in the next 2 weeks, I'll be turning in my Volkswagen and purchasing a new vehicle. So I've made a commitment to myself, and I've actually talked to it with my wife and others. So we're committed to purchasing a new car. So I'm definitely in due state. But when Volkswagen first announced that I could either get it fixed or I could turn it in and buy a new one, I would have been in think state for a little while I tried to figure out what my next steps were and where I was going to go with this.
And I think that's important to note is that think state, the length that you are in think state is going to be impacted obviously by you, your own personal customer journey, but also your products. Some products and services are going to have a much shorter think state than others are going to have. And so it's not like you're only in think state for 2 weeks or you're only in think state for 6 months. There's a few different factors that are going to impact how long you're in that journey state for.
So because think state is distinct and it's different from see and do, our objectives are a little bit different. Do you want to talk a little bit about how those objectives are different?
Yeah. So one of the first ways I think that they're different is that think state is allowing us to identify who's in market but not yet ready to buy. And I think that's a very important distinction because these people are silently lurking. They're not ready to respond to your due state creative that you've put out there, but they're definitely more committed than someone who would be in C state. And so our think state content is going to help us figure out who those people are so that we can make sure that we deliver the right message to them.
Yeah, your think state audience is never talking to a salesperson. That's the last person they want to talk to at this point because they're still trying to figure out what's what. And they really don't want to talk to somebody. They also don't want to fill out forms on your website inquiring about a product, and nor are they going to really add things to their cart. They're really at the point where they're just trying to figure out what they want to do, where they want to go next in their journey. So in addition to using Think State content to identify those people, we can also help them on their journey, right? We can be a resource and give them the tools and the information they need in order to move forward into Do State.
And we really see a difference here with our C-State content, where in C-State, we're really focused on building brand awareness and brand affinity. And we're still doing that. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But here is where they are open to our message. They are thinking about us. They're engaging with us. And so we have the ability to help try and influence that decision. We have the ability to educate them. They're going to be more open to that type of messaging. And we want to take advantage of that.
Exactly. C-State content is content that is desirable to the audience, regardless of whether they're in market for your product or service at all. So they could be so far from buying your product, they're qualified, but they're not anywhere near buying it. And ideally, if you're producing good C-State content, that's content that's still of interest to them. Think State, here we get to introduce that commercial message. We get to start to actually sell just a little bit in our content, because As a consumer, our audience wants that at this point. They want to be a better informed consumer so that they can make a better buying decision, so they know what they should be looking at or looking for, and we can help them along the way. And along that path, hopefully, we guide them to be looking at the right things and looking for our product, right?
Correct. And if you're doing a good job of educating them and giving them the information that you need, you're also building up that affinity with your brand or your product or your services. And so, even though, again, they're not ready to buy right now, they don't have that commitment, you've become a resource in their mind. You've become an invaluable resource. And that is worth so much when it comes time to make that purchasing decision.
Now, we've talked a lot about what this means to the consumer, to our audience, right? But to us as a brand, there's also kind of a goal here, right? Our objective as a brand is not so much to push people across the threshold and move them from Think to Do, because people don't want to be pushed. They want the skids greased, right? They want to make this as seamless as possible, but they don't want to be pushed. So our goal as a brand instead is to do just that. It's to grease those skids. It's to ease that process. And we're going to see that come back out on the other side in the form of higher close rates. We're going to see that come out in shorter sales cycles. And so our goal as a brand, as the advertiser, the person producing this content, is to improve that process for the prospect, for our audience, and reduce the amount of time it takes, reduce the amount of friction, and ultimately improve the percentage of close.
Now, it's important to note that to be able to do this, you need a lot of data to be able to validate this. You're going to have to make sure that you've got a program set up. You've got to let it run for a while so you can collect that data, and then you have to analyze it. We kind of skipped over this at the beginning, but if you'd like sort of a deeper dive into Think State, we do have podcast episode 27, which really gets into the meat of it for about 20, 25 minutes of your time. Or if you want more of a high-level overview, you can check out episode 16, or Steve wrote a phenomenal blog. If you like having a written reference, it's called See, Think, Do, A Framework for Understanding Your Prospect's State of Being. And we'll link to all of that in the show notes.
So when we look at Think State content, how do we know whether our content is working? How do we know if we have good content?
I think it all comes down to measuring it. What is the effectiveness of our Think State content or our Think State targeting? And, the thing that I think is important for us to keep in mind is that we are trying to be their guide and their friend as they move through their journey. We're trying to engage them with our content. And so, again, there's that sort of a thin line. We don't want to be too salesy, but we want to be informative. And so looking at that engagement and monitoring that engagement rate is very important.
Yeah. And if in a perfect world, we have a beautiful attribution model set up where we know exactly which touch points are contributing to which sales. And we can say, well, if they touch these three pieces of content, then their close rate increased by 20% and their time to close decreased by 2 weeks. The reality is very few of us have that set up. And even if we do, depending on how long your sales cycle is, it could be a year before you have actionable data. And by then, you're not even running the same content. So, we have this utopian vision of being able to have perfect attribution. The reality is we're going to have to use some other metrics to know whether or not our content is contributing to that success. And so, to your point, Elizabeth, this is where we fall back to those engagement metrics. And I think some of the best engagement metrics are things like dwell time. How long are they spending on your individual page or piece of content? You want to look at things like scroll depth to see, are they going to the bottom? Are we keeping their attention? And are they deep diving into this content? Because that's what really builds that affinity. That's how you know you're providing value and utility. If it's something that's downloaded, we just look at the downloads or the form fills to get to that download. If it's video, we look at how many seconds did they watch? Where do they drop off? What percentage of people completed this video? You can also look at sharing, although we'll talk in depth about how sharing is kind of challenging within this audience. And then you're also looking at, are we able to increase our, get some new contacts that are in Think State, or be able to add data to our database for those contacts we already have? A lot of marketing automation systems will let you increase the amount of data you have on each contact with every form fill. And so sometimes one of the beauties of high utility Think State content is that it can really help you nurture your database and take your existing contacts and add more information. So when they become sales ready, they're more complete.
So those are great metrics. Again, keeping in mind where it's all focused on engagement. It's about engaging them, being their guide, being their friend as they move through the customer journey.
So I think this is a great point for us to take a quick break and go help some folks. So without further ado, let's go do that.
Before we continue, I'd like to take a quick moment to ask you, iterative marketers, a small but meaningful favor and ask that you give a few dollars to a charity that's important to one of our own. This week's charitable cause was sent in by Stacy Kendrick of Missoula, Montana. Stacy asks that you make a contribution to the Loyola Sacred Heart Foundation, an organization dedicated to supporting the long-term financial stability of Missoula Catholic schools and to ensuring its accessibility and affordability to the greater Missoula region by inspiring donors to invest in high-quality Catholic education. Learn more at missoulacatholicschools.org or visit the link in the show notes. If you would like to submit your cause for consideration for our next podcast, please visit iterativemarketing.net/podcast and click the Share a Cause button. We love sharing causes that are important to you.
And we're back. So before the break, we went through what Think State content means, what we're trying to do with it, how we measure it. Now let's break down how we distribute that content. How do we get it in the hands of the audience that we're trying to reach? And with that, what changes when we go through different channels to distribute our content? And to do that, I'd like to reintroduce, like we did last week, the PESO model.
So we talked about the PESO model in depth in episode 35. So if you're not familiar, definitely go back and check it out. I think it's a really unique way to look at or reevaluate your marketing, and, you know, sort of stepping outside of your comfort zone with what you're typically doing. But the PESO model focuses on four types of channels: paid, earned, shared, and owned. And we'll go into a very quick recap of what each of these are before we go more in depth into them. So paid is when we're exchanging money in exchange for our audience. This is when we're going out and we're buying our advertising. Earned, we're trading the value of our content in exchange for access to a third-party audience. And so this is typically done through PR, through influencer marketing. Shared is when we're leveraging our own audience to amplify our content and messaging. So this is where our social media channels come into play. And owned is when we're building our own audience and serving it with valuable content on mediums that we own. So our website, our blog, things that we have control over.
When we look at paid in the context of Think State content, we're talking about paid advertising, things like native advertising. Facebook plays a huge role here. LinkedIn to some extent, pay-per-click. Pay-per-click doesn't really have as much to do here, although you can do it with RLSA, display ads, and really a lot of this stuff is retargeted content. We'll talk about that in a minute. But it's paid media where you are paying to get the content that you've produced in front of the eyeballs that you know are in Think State.
And what we're looking to do with this is really figure out the best way to reach our Think audience on each of these channels, paid, earned, shared, and owned.
To set ourselves up for success, we want to have some measurement. And ideally, like I said, utopian world, we're able to track each individual piece of content back to increasing sales. And if you have a short sales cycle, that's not that hard to do. If you have a short sales cycle and you're all digital, like a SaaS product or something, it's actually relatively easy to get the data that you need to or be able to support this. But if you're B2B and you have an offline sales process and a one-year sales cycle, it can become almost impossible. But if at all possible, track which pieces of content people have consumed when they became customers so that you can go back to know which ones are having the biggest impact.
Also important is making sure that you're picking paid media channels and structuring your buys to make sure that you're continuously marketing to the same qualified audience. Remember, we're trying to engage them here, and part of engagement is repetition. And so we want to make sure that we've got solid retargeting, and this is a huge part of it, and Steve mentioned it earlier, but we've got solid retargeting. So once we pull them into our owned channels, that we are able to stay in front of them, we're not having to go out and rebuy that audience over and over and over again. And so this is really going to help us to identify when they're in market, because we've started with them in C state, or maybe they haven't, joined us until they're in think state, but we've had this opportunity to watch them engage with our content and determine where they are in that buyer's journey.
Yeah. Remember, your think state content is semi-commercial in nature. So that means that in order for your audience to really engage with it, they have to have some degree of trust for your brand. Otherwise, they're going to look at this as another advertisement, right? And that somebody's trying to sell me something. But if they already have some trust or some affinity for your brand, then this becomes utility, and you're helping them through the buyer's journey because they see you as a friend, and they see you as somebody who's helping them make an informed decision, not somebody that's trying to sell you something. So if you go outside of the C audience that you've been nurturing with your think content, then you're hitting a bunch of people that may not know you from Adam or may not trust you. So it's a good practice to try and continue to nurture that same audience. And then to your point again, Elizabeth, retargeting becomes key here, because if you can detect those signals of that audience that is maybe considering your product, they're looking at product pages on your site, they're looking at pricing pages on your site, they are spending time engaged in other think content, then you know they're in think state, and you can come back to them with more think content to help them further on their journey.
So how do we iterate on this?
Well, similar to how we iterate on C state paid content, we're going to take a look and pit different media channels and targeting methods against each other to see where we are getting the most uptake here. Now, it's going to take more time because our think state audience is a lot smaller than our C state audience. So it's going to take a lot more time in order to capture which channels are most effective, or which content is most effective. But if you can capture that data in, and I think our target is about an 8-week period where it starts to become not so solid data, you can measure which channels have your highest engagement rates, have your highest click-through rates, have your highest form fill rates if you've got gated content on the other side of that click.
Now, you said you would be driving less traffic, but I think it's important to note that this is going to be higher quality traffic than what we generated in C-State. These are more engaged people. And so one of the cool things that we can do as we're running these experiments and we're testing these different channels is that we can use the results of our Think State experiments to improve our C-State targeting.
Absolutely. Because when you're running Think State content, the only people who would be engaging with your Think State content is somebody who is definitely qualified. They're definitely right fit, because you're not going to be looking at a semi-commercial message. You're not going to be looking at utility that helps you buy if you're not qualified to buy, at least not generally. Although, there are those of us that are a little bit aspirational about what kind of car we're going to drive someday. But, in general, you're not going to be engaging with this think state content unless you're qualified. So if you take the results from your tuning of your think state content and then apply it back to your C, where you have less of a direct response, less qualifiers to make sure you're hitting the right audience, you're able to improve the C state targeting over time.
If you are doing paid media and you have not already gone back and listened to episode 30, which is continuous improvement in paid media, I definitely recommend it. It is a phenomenal episode, if I do say so myself. But it has some really great information and really goes more in depth into this topic. This applies across all of your advertising. So definitely worth the listen.
Let's jump into earned for a moment. Do you want to remind our audience what earned is?
Yeah. So in earned, we're trading the value of our content in exchange for access to a third-party audience. And we do this through influencer marketing, traditional PR. And in both of those cases, we're really measuring the quantity and the quality of the audience that we're able to acquire.
The big difference here from our C state earned is that in C state earned, you're really just looking for mentions. You just want your name associated with a trusted news source or a trusted influencer. When we get to think, now we're looking to get actual messaging out that would help somebody who would be considering making a purchase. So here we're looking for more placements of actual individual content. So things like a product release or maybe an award that you achieved. These are good things to get out there to your audience via established media channels and influencers.
And, you know, we have a great example of this is when we were talking about this episode, you know, and talking about awards and recognitions from a third party, and wanted to give an example. And, you know, it popped up the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, their top safety picks. And I'm not in the market for a car right now. And I'm like, oh, yes, there's brands out there. I know. They talk about it. I just can't remember. And you could name them off right away because you're in market. You've been paying attention to this messaging. And so because you're in market, it stood out to you. Because I'm not in market, it was in sort of the back of my mind that maybe I had seen it somewhere, but I couldn't recall a brand. I didn't know a model that it went with. And so that's the difference there between our see and our think audience.
The other thing that you can do with Think State earned media is you can build awareness for other Think State content that you've produced. So if you produce a really awesome infographic, getting that out through your influencer channel can be really helpful. If you produce this tool that provides a lot of utility for those people that might be in market, you can get that out through your influencer channel. And by doing that, you're able to bolster your owned efforts with now earned efforts.
Yeah, because it's coming from a third party, it's got this sort of extra level of authority that you're not necessarily going to get through some of your paid channels. At the end of the day, though, it's always important to take a look at the different media outlets, the different influencers, and see who's driving the most qualified traffic. Just because it's earned doesn't mean that you can't iterate on it, and we're going to get into that in just a moment here. But the key is making sure that you're really reviewing the type of traffic that you're getting from each of these placements.
So you'd mentioned iterating on it. How do we iterate on it?
So, you know, one of the things we want to do is really look at testing our pitches. And I know you hate using that word. It's a bit archaic in the industry, but really looking to see what type of content resonates with our audiences. And this is where having a better understanding of the type of quality of traffic and the type of traffic that's coming from these, you know, these different outlets and influencers can be really important, because you may find that you've got this blogger over here and their audience is responding to tools, and you've got this audience over here and their audience or this channel over here and their audience is really responding to, you know, maybe it's testimonials or case studies or, you know, real life stories of someone who's used your product. And so having an understanding of that can help to help you to sort of alter that pitch in a way that's going to help you get content that resonates best with that industry or with that audience.
Yeah. And since this is semi-commercial content, not every pitch is going to resonate with every blogger either, because you're trying to figure out how can we put our product or service or brand in the best light for those that are in market and help guide and inform their purchase decision. That's content that edges on the type of content that an influencer and media outlets don't really want to run, because it can sound salesy in spots. And so it's walking that fine line and figuring out how can we get this content that effectively does both. And that requires a lot of testing and trial and error of different types of content with different types of media outlets. And eventually you find a groove and a fit there. And then once you have that in place, now it's a matter of iterating on it and trying to improve the quality of the traffic that you're getting. So when we get a placement here, how does that increase the amount of people searching for our brand online? When we get a placement with this particular influencer, media outlet, blogger, etc., how much traffic does that generate to our site through referrals? And what is the quality of that traffic? Is this high quality traffic where they're engaging in more think content, maybe even some do content, or is this people who are just trying to figure out who we are and then they're bouncing?
The S in peso is for shared. And here we're amplifying our content by getting non-influencers to share our content with their networks. And it's important, I think, to note that there's some overlap here with the earned media as well.
Yeah, you kind of have that spectrum of who is just part of our audience, part of our consumer base, and who is an influencer. And there's gray area in between there, as well as you're looking to have that earned media also amplified and shared. And so that makes it kind of muddled. But in either case, we're looking to get people to take our Think State content and share it through their own social media presence. So they're through their own Twitter, through their own Facebook, et cetera. And our goal as marketers is to provide them the mechanisms to do that and get the content in front of them in a sharing context, meaning get it into their feed so that they can share it directly from their social feeds.
Now, while we are still looking for what is most shareable, it gets a little bit tricky here, and you alluded to this earlier in the episode, and that's because the sharing is taking place via dark social. Do you want to talk about dark social? It sounds so scary.
I know, dark social. So most social media is fairly measurable. We're able to take a look and see through various social media monitoring tools what's getting shared. We can take a look at the individual shares on our own post. We can count the sharing button clicks on our website. But what we can't see is when I text something to my wife and say, hey, take a look at this. We can't see when a PDF gets emailed around the office. This is all dark social activity, and it comes up in our analytics, if it comes up in our analytics at all, as direct traffic, because it's coming off of an email that somebody sent. It's coming off of a text message that somebody sent, and there's no way that Google Analytics or any other analytics system can track where that click came from. And so it's called dark social because it's kind of in the dark, in the shadows. We can't see this activity, but we know that it's happening because our direct traffic is going up because we hear the word of mouth coming back through our sales. So when we do this, we want to make sure that we are encouraging this dark social traffic to occur and encourage people to share, knowing that we're not going to be able to measure it on the other side.
So when we talk about putting our best foot forward and knowing that dark social exists, that doesn't mean that we want to ignore those sharing mechanisms that we can see. And so we want to make sure that we are providing multiple and prominent opportunities for our content, on our content for our audience to be able to share that through the ways that we can measure. But then we also want to make sure that we are using those sharing tools that include some of the dark social sharing mechanisms. Do you want to talk about how we can do that?
Yeah. So if you go out to share this, and sharethis.com is one of, I think, the most popular sharing button tool that you can embed sharing buttons on your site. The default ones are like Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn. But there's also, if you dig into the tools a little bit more, that you can add an email button. You can add a WhatsApp button. Now, WhatsApp is going to come again through as a direct link on the other side because it's coming out of another app. So these additional buttons allow you to track when some of that dark social sharing activity occurs, as well as encouraging it, because Think State content is not the kind of thing that I think that all of my Facebook audience is going to be interested in, because they're not in market for the same thing that I am. However, my wife is going to be interested in it if it comes down to the safety rating of the car that we're about to buy and put our three kids in. And my coworkers are going to be interested if it comes down to the tool that we're going to be using. And so having an email button prominent on the site will encourage me to share that content with other influencers within my organization or with other influencers within my household.
And then one other thing you can do, which doesn't necessarily help you track what's being shared, but it does help make sure that you are building up that brand awareness and brand affinity, is making sure that you are including branded information on the materials themselves. If you're writing a white paper, make sure it's clearly branded. If you've got a case study, make sure that that is clearly branded. If you've got an infographic that's going out there, again, you want to make sure that they know who it is that has provided this very valuable content. They may be paying attention to it, they may not be paying attention to it, but at the end of the day, seeing your logo, understanding what it is that what value it is that you're providing is going to help them to build up that awareness and build up that affinity with your brand.
Because you can't count on them having come through the same channel that the first person did to get that content. Once it's shared, it's going to be stripped away from the landing page that it was on. It's going to be stripped away from the social post that brought the people there. It's now has to stand on its own once it drops into somebody's email inbox. They're going to be looking in the context of their coworker's email, or their if it pops into somebody's text message, they're going to be looking in the context of their sister's text message, not your landing page, not your social post. So make sure every piece of content can stand on its own if it's something that you're expecting to be shared in that way, or even could be shared in that way. So how do we iterate on this? How do we continuously improve in our shared shared media for think state content?
Yep. So I think the first thing we can do is look at testing different social posting formats to find which type of headline or lead-in or images or combination of those two or three items gets the most shares with different audience segments.
And we need to be careful here. A lot of stuff is not going to, we're not going to be rocking the share charts here. You're not going to see, you know, hundreds of people who have retweeted these tweets, partly because you're not going to have as broad a distribution. Some of this stuff is just going to be retargeted at your existing audience via paid channels. But second of all, because again, not everybody is going to share this content because they don't think that everyone else is in market for the same thing that they are at this point in their journey.
And finally, testing the placement, the prominence, et cetera, of sharing buttons to really maximize sharing from our site. And one thing to keep in mind here is that this is going to be site-wide. We're not, you know, we're not going to have different placement of buttons for someone in C state that we're going to have in think state versus do state. It's going to be the same across the board. But again, we can test that. We can apply that over and apply it to the entire site.
So you're telling me that when we go through this again for do state content, we get to talk about a button test again?
We do. I know how much you love them.
Yeah, we're going to literally push my buttons again.
Oh, goodness. All right. I think with that, we need to head into our last and final model here.
So the O in peso is owned, and this kind of brings it back home to the channels that we control. So here we're trying to stay in front of that subscribed audience. These are the people that have already bought in, and generally our distribution to this audience is free. So it's occurring via email. It's occurring via text message or some other thing that we can do where we're not paying some other entity, either in the form of content for earned or in the form of money in the case of paid, to get that content out.
Now, you mentioned email and text messaging. You know, obviously our website is part of this, but marketing automation, we haven't really talked much about that, but this is another great place that marketing automation can come into play.
Right, because your C-state audience, oftentimes they're just going to be getting the same content as the rest of the C-state audience. So that's an example of like your email newsletter is just fine for your C-state audience. But when you start getting into Think, here, people become a little bit more specialized in the content that they want to see. And so having a solid marketing automation platform set up for you can really be to your advantage because you're able to deliver the right content to the right person at the right time when they're in that think state. So it's different from C, where a batch and blast like a MailChimp is going to be just fine. Think state, you're going to want to, if you can, invest in a marketing automation system to really get that content out there.
And this ties into what it is that we're looking for, in that we really want to know if we're driving up lead score and engagement with our subscribers. And marketing automation and email marketing, those are two ways to really support that.
Yeah. So again, coming back to engagement, we want to know not just if people are clicking on our content, but also what is their dwell time when they get there? How many additional form submissions are they willing to submit in order to get there? Because if I'm willing to submit a form, that means that I see value in that content. And so if you, one of the great ways to gauge whether your think state content is actually adding value or utility is, are people willing to give up some contact information for it? And if they are, then you know that you've provided some content that is not only helping them in their journey as far as in influencing their decision to buy from you, but you're also providing that value, that utility on the other side.
And again, we're looking for that increase in lead score. You know, we're looking at that engagement over time. It's not just engaging with one piece of content. It's what other actions have they taken on our website? And that lead score is a great way to help keep track of that. And as we work with our sales teams to help identify who it is that is in think state or maybe ready to move into do state, who we want to start picking up the phone and talking to based on what they've been engaging with and the actions they've been taking on our website.
Now, to be most successful with think state content, when you look at your owned media, the key here is to leverage that marketing automation system to nurture somebody over time. So in order to do that, you have to have a couple things in place. First, you have to have more than one piece of content. The beauty here is that most think state content is essentially evergreen. Because if you're using marketing automation to deliver it, the only people that are going to get it are the people who are in market. And marketing automation will make sure that they aren't getting it more than once. So if the content is still valid and valuable and accurate, you can keep that same piece of content indefinitely and just make sure that you aren't re-delivering it to the same people over and over again. So that's really where having that marketing automation system can be invaluable. In building an arsenal of think state owned content to nurture a think state audience.
And finally, as we wrap up our owned channel, how do we iterate on this?
Well, here, again, it comes back to A-B testing. And you're really looking at A-B testing things primarily in that email channel that you're delivering it. So A-B testing subject lines, A-B testing whether plain text versus rich text or HTML email is a more effective method, whether it should come from a sales rep at this point or a BDR, whether it should come from the brand or maybe from the owner or founder of the company in the case of like a B2C type thing. Testing that stuff out, and it might take some time to test it out because it's not a big batch and blast of email. It's trickling out over time if you're using marketing automation, but you can still execute an A-B test even if it is trickling out over time and monitor which version over time produces a better response.
You're also going to be wanting to watch for unsubscribes and flagging any content or emails that are resulting in spikes of unsubscribes.
And you're going to want to never compare your open rates or your click-through rates between two completely different pieces of content, or if you are using batch and blast, two different sends of the same content, because if you aren't spreading this out over many, many, many sends, then you're going to have variations between when we sent it last week and this week if you're sending two big batches. If you're using marketing automation, it's over many, many different sends. That's fine. It all kind of comes out in the wash, and you can compare open rates and click-through rates between version A and version B over time. But if you're doing batch and blast, you never just want to say, well, last week's the open rate was 10% and this week's the open rate was 30%. Obviously, this week's was better. Well, no, last week everybody was focused on the election or the game or this, that, or the other or whatever. And this week they're actually paying attention. It could be completely irrelevant to your content.
Great point.
One thing that I just want to hammer home before we close out this, again, very long episode, is that C-State's pretty straightforward. You're providing content that is valuable and of interest to a broad audience, regardless of whether they're in market. Do State, when we get to it, is pretty obvious. You're providing content that helps somebody close a deal, right? So you're helping get them across that threshold so that they can actually buy. But Think State is completely different industry to industry, brand to brand, because how long somebody is in that think state, what their state of mind is in that think state is completely different. So to kind of bring this home, if you think about like an impulse buy has basically zero think state. Whether you buy that Snickers bar at the checkout line is not something you're going to think about. As a matter of fact, if you do stop to think about it, you're probably not going to buy the Snickers bar at the checkout line. And you think about consumer packaged goods. My think state for toothpaste is the time period between when I run out of toothpaste and I have more toothpaste in my cart, right? That's my think state. That's very different of like a B2B thing where I'm trying to decide who is our new accounting firm. That's something that could take, you know, months in order to narrow down and define it with multiple stakeholders. And that think state period of when you're frustrated with your existing accounting firm, but you haven't decided your actual formal search, that could run for a year or more. So think state is very different based on your audience and your product, your market, what you're selling, and everything we said in this episode, you're going to have to adapt to your individual circumstance.
And by adapt, we mean your content may be different, how you're delivering that content, how you're testing that content, how long someone is in your think state. These are all things that are going to be impacted by, you know, what it is that Steve just mentioned.
So I want to thank everybody for making some time for us today. I know that I've got a bit of a cold and I had a hard time actually talking. I appreciate you bearing with us. As always, if you like what you hear, please go out and leave us a review. That helps other people find this valuable content and encourages us to continue to produce it. Otherwise, until next week, onward and upward.
If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to the podcast on YouTube or your favorite podcast directory. If you want notes and links to resources discussed on the show, sign up to get them emailed to you each week at iterativemarketing.net. There, you'll also find the Iterative Marketing blog and our community LinkedIn group where you can share ideas and ask questions of your fellow iterative marketers. You can also follow us on Twitter. Our username is @ITER8
IVE, or email us at podcast@iterativemarketing.net. The Iterative Marketing Podcast is a production of Brilliant Metrics, a consultancy helping brands and agencies rid the world of marketing waste. Our producer is Heather Ullman with transcription assistance from Emily Bechtel. Our music is by Seastock Audio Music Production and Sound Design. You can check them out at seastockaudio.com. We'll see you next week. Until then, onward and upward.